At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
This is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
An 8-9 automobile smashing Jody Ridley, crashing into the infield. Spinning, splashing their way down the road, and his car slithering and sliding down to turn number 4.
Slipping, sliding through cars.
And it's shoot and scoot from here, David.
Neil Bonnett, a stout and steady third out here.
Put every ounce of effort they have into winning. No equivocation about it. This is worth doing.
Roars into the first turn, and they begin.
Common man doing uncommon deeds. They wouldn't be denied. They'd stick with it and fight with it as long as they had breath to breathe. We've got to own it, that in-car damage, because this is going to change everything.
We're talking about like an actual bear, right?
Bear, a real bear. Yeah, Susie the bear.
It takes a special type of person to venture out and do things many others haven't done. For some, it's the thrill of risk that fuels their fire. For others, it simply just fits their personality. It's about proving you can do things that others can't. I mean, the extraordinary starts with ordinary people doing extraordinary things. This is where the likes of Cale Yarborough and Ken Squire fit into the story. Hello everybody, welcome back to the next installment of Next Level, where we dive into that famous, quote, common man doing uncommon deeds. And honestly, this goes well beyond just the drivers on the track. It boils down to the very idea that broadcasting NASCAR was not a common thing at the time. The idea of mainstream broadcasting and mainstream racing just didn't exist. How did we get there? Well, it took someone with a big idea, someone who believed in it, and like we've covered in the first three episodes, that guy is Ken Squire. We'll talk about the first flag-to-flag broadcast, which was not the 1979 Daytona 500, and you'll find out very shortly what it was. Maybe you did your research when I teased it that last time around, but Ken was a pit reporter for that race, and we actually in between recording, we showed him clips of him on pit road, and if you want, it is available on YouTube. Go check it out. I'll share it at the end of the episode so I don't reveal any spoilers. But we talk about, that first flag-to-flag race, in-car cameras. Many people don't know that Ken Squire was that guy, instrumental in bringing in-car cameras to NASCAR, putting a face that connected with that car, because at the time when you were watching these races, all you saw was a race car. You didn't see the hero behind the wheel. And that's what so much of Ken Squire was about, is trying to bring those personalities to life. And one of those personalities, and we're going to cover him a fair amount in this episode, this is actually how the common man doing uncommon deeds quote came about, is we were talking about Cale Yarborough and some of the things he did. Unbelievable stories. When I was listening back to this specific portion of the interview, I was getting giddy myself. I was hanging on. It had been some time since I listened to our conversation, and I didn't necessarily know where we were going, so I was hanging on as if I was listening to these stories for the first time, and I can't wait for you to hear what is in store. In my opinion, of all the episodes we put out, this one's the best one yet. Can't wait for you to listen to this conversation. Next Level with Ken Squire. A lot of people think that the first flag-to-flag coverage of a NASCAR race was the 1979 Daytona 500, but that wasn't the case. It was the 1971 Greenville 200, and you were a pit reporter on that.
Yeah.
Do you remember that broadcast?
Yeah, I sure do. I had something that looked like a pack from World War One lugged around, and I had a great time. David Pearson and Bobby Isaac were the stars in that show. Imagine a guy who came out of that business of making underwear in North Carolina. The star, right, with Bobby Isaac, who I just loved. He couldn't read too well, but he could understand as well as anybody I ever met in my life. I thought he was quite a guy. And that was good enough for him. And he thought he could do it better. And he kept proving it. And that race, those two fought it out at the end.
It was a runaway. I think, didn't Bobby Isaac beat David Pearson by a few laps?
I think he did. Because one of them tuckered out. But, but the car tuckered out.
Yeah.
Not him. But those are the guys that really put solid roots in the ground for this sport and where it's going and what it's becoming, and more power to them.
I heard you describe the 71 flag-to-flag race in Greenville as quite the experiment. What worked about it, what didn't work about it, and what did ABC think about that race after it was all said and done?
Yes, I guess I did work for ABC that day. I can't tell you that. I know that I walked out and thought, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It meant something to so many that had not been particularly represented, although baseball did. But as far as I was concerned, that didn't count. I had to have something more corn on the cob. And it was a short track. It wasn't a long track. And they did the same thing they did everywhere they go and still do today. Put every ounce of effort they have into winning. No equivocation about it. This is worth doing. Not many people today can put up with that, but they do. And that's what racing was. And these kids today, most of whom I don't know, I see these new names, and I, what the heck is going on here? We've got this avalanche of new names. But where are the Isaacs, the Cale Yarboroughs? You know, Cale Yarborough, who used to jump out of airplanes. And he had a parachute in a lard can. And that was for a fare. And he'd come down and open it on the way down. Huh? Crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, go talk to him about it.
Daredevils.
And they were. And there was no question about it. And Cale was one of the ones that you could be sure his intention was to use whatever he did to make it work.
So you mentioned Cale Yarborough jumping out of an airplane and these guys being daredevils as race car drivers. Was a car another thing Cale could do? Was it something that fit his personality already?
Ask him.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I mean, to put together or to work with people that could put together a car that could run 300, 400, 500 miles and still be at the end. Hey, and that originally was not out of Detroit. That was right out of the barnyard over and over again in the South. And they were so proud of it. That was their people doing what they do well. Mm-hmm. Nobody paid attention to the Northeast. You know, because we got all those fancy colleges and all that. But underneath all of that were people that cared just as much about proving that they could do something that others couldn't.
That's a big part of it right there.
And they could and and made some money at it. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, it comes down to the, you know, your famous quote, it's common men doing uncommon deeds. Yeah.
Which was all of World War II. And nobody ever made, well, I guess they did, that much out of it. But the common man doing uncommon deeds is why we were so successful in the Pacific. and punching into Germany in World War II too. They wouldn't be denied. They'd stick with it and fight with it as long as they had breath to breathe.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
On the plane ride here, per your daughter Ashley's suggestion, I watched the movie Rush, which was about the, 1976 Formula One championship with James Hunt, Niki Lauda. I heard you were all around that season and even went to Japan for that championship race.
I did. Yeah, I stole him out of the press conference because we had to get it on CBS. I wasn't a very good person.
But it was CBS News, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's what we said it was.
So why'd you say it that way?
Well, because we weren't supposed to be there. And we developed the theory about why we could be there, because it was news, and my God, it was. And we didn't use that much, 2 or 3 minutes, but enough to tell the story. But you have to be on your toes and working on making sure you get it, whatever the job is, done and done right. And I love CBS for that.
Yeah.
I always will, because they had such a determination to do things better with everything they did. And when they bit into sports, they did it. And they had people and producers and directors that were so talented. And I was just lucky to come along at the time when they decided, oh, we need to look at that and that. Well, we'll try that. And they put a team together for Daytona. It was unbelievable, all the way. The audio guy, all of them, producers, directors, and that's what America is supposed to be about. It gets lost, but it doesn't get lost at Thunder Road. By God, when that guy crosses the finish line, you know he's done the job that day.
I wanted to cut in real quick on our conversation with Ken to set up the story that is coming next. And I teased at the beginning that we're going to talk about in-car cameras. And I wanted to provide a little backstory before we hear Ken's answer. So Ken Squire, finds himself in Australia with CBS. He's shooting The World's Strongest Man, and Chris Economaki also happens to be there covering a motorsports event that is going on in Australia. He comes across the in-car camera, and here is his reaction to it.
We've got to do this, and we've got to do it quick, because Economaki was there at the same time in Australia. I don't know why he was there, but he was. And I said, well, you can't around. We got to get this done, and we've got to own it, that in-car camera, because this is going to change everything. They bought it. We got it done.
With the in-car camera, I remember reading articles saying that the original versions were really heavy, boxy, maybe
50 pounds.
Dangerous, right?
50 pounds. Yeah, they turned over and then the thing would kill them.
Oh my gosh. So how did you get them in the cars?
On their faith and my good word.
And it seemed to be enough.
Yeah, it got by that time. Wouldn't for long, because that when you look at those cameras and the way they were set up in there, jeez. But it did. The problem that we had before that was, what did it mean? Nobody knew. They couldn't understand why that was so important. Car running around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
You put the camera in there, and they'd pull up and something would come by them, or they would go by them. And it changed the whole attitude about the driver. Before, it was just some bozo from South Carolina driving around in circles. But take that out of it and consider it as a sailboat race. And it was everything, because now the opportunity was there for the viewer to see what the hell they were going through.
Yeah.
And the best part of that story is the...
So, yeah, who's that? Who's that doing that?
That was the mystery of the year at Daytona.
So tell me that story.
We had the best sound guy in the business that worked for CBS, and he had done everything for them. And he said, I've got a problem. He says, we pick up a harmonic out of Cale's car, and we can't get rid of the fucking thing. You got to help us with it, because we don't know what to do. So they fussed and fooled around for a while, and they couldn't fix it. He'd get up in the banks, and this would be in practice toward the race. And all of a sudden, and it'd go on for 8 or 9 seconds and then stop. And then it'd start again. And finally, after a while, I got to think of that. I should know his name, because I like the guy. The audio guy said, I think I got it. It's not the car. It's not our equipment. It's Cale.
Yep.
And it was. He'd get up on the wheel, and he had his hands, and he used one hand on the left side. And when he... and then it'd go away. And we discovered that our problem was that we had to get a new driver in there, or else muffle him, because he couldn't hear it.
Why did he do it?
Huh?
Why did he do it in the first place?
Subconscious thing that he didn't even know he did. He had no idea.
He had no idea?
I don't think he had an idea in the world that he did that.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. Cale Yarborough making race car noises in the turns.
It wasn't meant to be a noise. It was just
like a humming?
Yeah. And it was at a strange harmonic. And nobody thought of it as a human voice at the time.
The camera guy, like, did he inspect the camera when Cale wasn't in the car? They're like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Is that how he figured out it was Cale making the noise?
Yeah. But it didn't happen overnight.
Oh, so this wasn't didn't happen in a day.
Finally, they admitted that as good as their audio was, they couldn't control Cale. Don't want to hear it? Turn it down.
Yeah, that's it. Not many people can control Kelly Yarbrough, maybe.
Nobody could.
Nobody could.
Remember he used to fly with that bear? They finally took him out of the air because he had that little plane. And Susie the bear would end up at Atlanta or somewhere with him in the cockpit flying with the bear sitting beside him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jesus. And he thought that was so cute and so much fun. And Susie the bear never got much publicity.
We're talking about like an actual bear, right?
Bear, a real bear.
Where'd he get it? Where'd he get Susie the bear
Beats
from?
Beats the shit out of me.
one of the mysteries.
He got the greatest delight. He loved animals. And all of his life he's loved animals, as much as his girls. And so Susie the bear got taken for rides in the airplane. And he got caught. And of course, I don't know where he landed, but it was an airport large enough. And they had people there that understood that you didn't take animals and put them in the co-pilot seat and fly with them. Didn't bother him any. Susie liked to fly. And so that lasted a while. And Susie got too big. So she got eliminated from that. She got taken out of the air. But he was content with that. And that spirit, that's a different attitude than most people have.
Yeah.
With a bear. Yeah. Susie the bear.
Susie the bear. How about that? That is right where we stopped recording at the end of day one. We're like, there's no way we can top this story. We're going to have to regroup and figure out where to go from there because Cale Yarbrough and a bear. And I honestly did not know anything about this. And we were going to rap, and you actually might hear one of our producers, Micah, he was actually telling me, all right, we're good. We're going to cut it there. And then Ken jumps in. He's like, didn't he have that bear? And we're like, all right, we're going to keep the tape rolling because this is great. And we got that story out of it. And right after we cut, I asked Ken, how do you even control a bear like that? And this was his answer.
How do you even
control a bear? That's amazing.
Well, up in the air.
Yeah. You have to be quiet now.
You gotta be quiet. Yeah.
You gotta go really fast now. Now be quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's one way to control a bear. I don't know if the bear would listen to you if you say that, but I guess Cale Yarbrough has the guts that I don't have to fly in an airplane with, let alone an animal, a bear. So, and there are going to be more Cale Yarbrough stories, by the way. This is just the beginning of it. And apparently there's more animal stories with Cale Yarbrough. A bear is very far from the only thing that he has tried to tame in his lifetime. And we're going to be getting that a few episodes down the line. But coming up next, there is a fight between Cale Yarbrough and Donnie Allison. Tempers overflowing. The 1979 Daytona 500. We're going to dedicate an entire podcast episode just to that very moment. It's going to be a special one because I had a conversation not only with Ken, as you know, but with David Hobbs, and we talked for 25 minutes. Get ready for a mega episode coming next. And it's all about the 1979 Daytona 500, the race that put NASCAR on the map, changed everything, and the voice behind it, the one, the only, Ken Squire. There's nothing I can do to hype it up more than that. Get ready. It's coming next on Next Level. Thanks for listening. I've been Andrew Curlin. We've got more Ken Squire coming up soon.
This is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Check out Dirty Mo Media.
YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Dirty Mo.
Dirty Mo. Dirty Mo.